Hey, Derek, how you doing, buddy?
Derek? Derek's dead. Tom, welcome as my new co-host of the Cheaters Never Win podcast.
It's sad to be here, actually.
It's sad.
But in a way, it's great to be here.
Yeah, welcome, Tom.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you.
It's pretty cool. We're in mourning, but we're in happy mourning right now.
We're in happy morning because in-game update, Canes currently down 4-1 to the Columbus Blue Jackets end of the second period. Are we mourning the end of the winning streak?
I think we're mourning the death of Cam Ward, or at least the figurative image that we had of him, the unbreakable Cam Ward.
Yes. And since we are mourning tonight together, we thought it best to get together the whole crew so that way we were here for each other tonight. So not only is it myself and the honorable Mr. Workrate on the podcast, but we've also brought in Section 328's very own grief counselor, as well as analytics expert, Canalytics Oliver. First time, long time. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's going to be a rough show, guys. Finding it hard to talk, you know, with the absence of Derek, in the absence of Cam Ward's glove. But hopefully we'll persevere and maybe we'll get some like positive Ned stories out of this evening's activities. We'll see.
Yeah, and you right on cue. Right on cue. You said positive, and if there's one guy we can count on to be positive, it is Mr. Puckin' Sunshine himself. I believe also first time, long time on the podcast, our very own, and I think the newest addition to the hockey writing staff, J.C. Bobbitt. J.C., welcome to Cheaters Never Win, sir. How are you feeling on this a really tough evening in Caniac Land?
You know, just due to my usually bright nature, it's hard for me to do anything but smile, which is very unfortunate in circumstances like this. But, you know, I'm going to keep doing it because that's what Derek would want.
That smile brightens this room. We don't need electricity. Well, we need electricity because that's what powers the mics and all that. But your powerful ray of sunshine just emanating from you, JC, just brightens this whole small little area of the Section 328 World Headquarters.
Glad I could help you cope tonight, Tom.
Well, and we also have Josh Yowie from DK on Sports, one of the Pittsburgh Penguins' best beat writers. He's here. He's gonna throw some levity into this, and Derek may call in later. Who knows? But guys, welcome to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win. I would normally ask Derek to hit the damn X button, but his slack ass isn't here tonight, so I'm gonna hit him my damn self.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Yes, we're back, but We're Derek-less tonight. Contrary to popular belief, Derek has not died completely. I believe Derek's heart is only dead. Dead and blackened by Cam Ward's performance in the first couple of periods against Columbus tonight.
It's a partial death.
Yes, partial death. But he could be feeling much better soon. You know what could make him feel better, Tom?
What would that be, Mike?
That would be if he were to jump over to SeatGeek. And he wanted to go to something that would maybe brighten his spirits. I don't know. Maybe he's thinking about attending the game on Friday night where the Pittsburgh Penguins are coming to town. I don't know if Derek actually attends hockey games anymore. But if he does, how would he benefit by going to SeatGeek?
Well, he would download the SeatGeek app and then select the game in question that he would be looking for, in this case, the Pittsburgh game, and then look through all the various deals that are there. Now, there are two ways to find out what kind of deals that you have.
Ooh, there's multiple ways.
That you can use numerically, and you can also use a color-coded method, which is the best for me because I like colors because they're pretty.
And you're number blind.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why we hire other people for the website to do all the complex math.
Exactly.
I was told there would be no math.
There will be no math tonight, particularly if you're over on SeatGeek. You download the app, you hit the settings button, you enter the promo code Cheaters. That's CHEATRES, Cheaters. I think I still spelled that right.
You did not spell that right at all.
Not even close.
It's English is hard when you're grieving the loss of your co-host. But put in Cheaters into the promo code, and you'll get $20 back off your first purchase if you've never used a promo code before. If you've already used a promo code, code, it does not apply. And shame on you for trying to cheat the system of SeatGeek, because they're awesome. And we love that they are continuing sponsors of this, the Cheaters Never Win podcast, a part of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network. Multiple noises. I like that. All of the noises. All right, boys. So it's a packed studio in here tonight. Still 4-1 in Columbus. Ned's in goal. Initial impressions of the coach's decision to bring in a guy who's spent a large portion of his season in the ECHL, and what exactly you think the coach's motivation behind this may have been.
I think it's because he has family in the crowd. Honestly, with a 4-1 game, I know Cam hasn't been great, but Ned's been worse than Cam in a lower league in the AHL, so we all love him. He's our future, but...
Well, all right, so Oliver, you're saying basically we're throwing him to the wolves in front of his family? Jesus, what type of heartless, soulless, water-loving coach do you think we have behind the bench?
Bill Peters loves to, have a good story, I guess. It is kind of surprising because, Columbus does have the best goal scoring in the league. They have the best power play in the league. I think the good thing about it is it might rally the team behind them. We've seen that our defense can clamp down, and perhaps in this situation, that's exactly what we'll see.
You know what, Oliver, I'm disappointed in you. It's your first time on the podcast, maybe your last. You just had the opportunity to drop multiple score effects to be able to say, there's going to be score effects, and it's 4-1, and then their shots are going to drop by like 30%, and then Ned's, and then we're going to come back, and...
Mike, I don't know. I was told there would be no math, as Tom had already said earlier.
But there's a dry erase board in this room.
Yes.
And you've yet to take advantage of it. I was looking for graphs and like pictures.
Flow charts.
Completely useless on a podcast, but still, I would look at them.
My former co-host, Derek, would have made gestures that people couldn't see. He'd nod a lot.
Yeah, well, and look where it got him.
I know.
He's dead.
He's dead to us.
I like
at least
I say
for tonight.
He's dead, and you laugh.
Well, JC, what's your thoughts? The Canes went up 1-0. Which was that the straw that broke the camel's back? The fact that we actually had a first period lead in a road game for approximately 15 seconds.
Well, we've played from behind so well, and we were in that rhythm. I don't think we wanted to get out of that. We're used to being the scrappy underdog, and we totally crumbled when we decided, hey, you know what, maybe we should be active in the first period of this game.
Well, it wasn't that bad of a first period. I think we were all talking that it was fairly even throughout, and I think we all knew this game was coming, right? That we kind of expected this game to happen either with Buffalo or with the Islanders, because this is what happens. You have a nice string of games, and then you play down to your competition. I think the positive thing here, Tom, is the fact that we're playing down to one of the best teams in the league. But maybe just Canes fans had become so drunk with power and consecutive wins that we forgot what could happen when we actually face elite goaltending.
Yeah, pretty much in the last like 4 or 5 seasons or plus, if you want to actually get that far into it with your level of bitterness, it's been a matter of just waiting for that bad loss to happen, whether it be exactly like you said, a team like Buffalo, which we hate to lose to in the first place, or a team like the Islanders. You wait for that bad loss to happen, and it didn't happen. So, this is the sign, I think, that the team is turning a corner, and even whatever the outcome of this game, this is still one of the best teams in the league. A team that won, 16 games in a row. A loss to them isn't going to be a deal breaker, especially since some of the other losses by Metropolitan leading teams, or not leading necessarily, but the Rangers aren't doing too well right now. So
yeah, no, the Rangers are getting smoked by Dallas currently. Another in-game update. Hank Lundqvist is no longer able to play goal. He's horrible. He's actually, the United States is thinking about revoking his goaltending visa, and they are losing to Dallas 7-3.
Aside from Derek, Hank died tonight.
Oh, you're calling it.
Perhaps, yeah.
2017 takes another victim.
The worst year already.
Worst year.
But no, it's let's talk a little bit about the last couple of games. So the Buffalo game and the Islanders game gave us lots of hope. We were multiple points in hand, 1 point out of the playoffs. Fortunately, the Flyers have continued their skid. And even if we do take an L tonight, and we promise you that we will continue to give you live in-game updates for a podcast you'll listen to, potentially multiple days after the game, because we know that's what you come here for, we will still be in a very good position. Now, that said, we will then have 3 games in 4 nights. 2 of those games on the road. We will be playing the Pittsburgh Penguins at home, and then following night at Columbus again, and then 1 night off, short travel, little hop over to Washington, D.C. to play a Washington Capitals team that just has been running shop on the entire National Hockey League. You know, we put it out there on Twitter today, and we said, hey, what would be a successful outcome for this 4-game stretch? I know Bill Peters, as well as us, because, you know, we're educated hockey folk, we like to look at things in 4 to 5 game stretches. And, you know, a lot of people were saying we needed 5 points out of this 4-game stretch to be considered successful. If things continue like they're going to tonight, we're going to come out of tonight's game with 0 points, which would mean we would need 5 out of 6 potential points against Columbus, Pittsburgh, and D.C. in 4 nights. That is a hefty order. What does this Canes club need to do to get, I think, 4 successful? But a lot of Canes Twitter was saying 5, and, you know, Canes Twitter does not have unrealistic expectations, particularly of this podcast. So, Tom, what's your take?
I think what the Canes need to do at this point, and what I think the Canes fan base needs to do, is stop looking at, we need 5 points in 3 games, or we need X amount of points in X amount of games, 1 game at a time. That needs to be the focus right now. There's 40 plus games left in the season, and we're still scoreboard watching to see, well, we're 1 point ahead of this team and with 2 games in hand, but with like 40 more games left to play. Yes, every game matters, and we'll look at that in April, whether we should have won that particular game or not. But the focus needs to be game to game to game. If we end up blowing this Columbus game 8-1 for some reason or something like that, that game has to go on the back burner, get thrown out, get forgotten, and then move on to the next game. It's 0-0 at the beginning of every game. I know I sound like a coaching cliche, but at the beginning of each game is a brand new start. So that needs to be looked at that way.
Thanks, Coach Capuano.
My take would be that looking at ineffective math, or Michael Blake McCurdy today, I think the probability for the graphs, I think we lost this game in regulation. Our playoff hopes would dip by like 5% or something like that. Most models have us in right now at like 50-70%, I think. So game at a time is good. We still need to pick up points. Like, you got to crank out those loser points if you can, I think. You know, we could come back in some fashion. Of course, that'd be the best case scenario. We'll see how it goes. But yeah.
Yeah, while you guys were listening to Tom, Oliver was over here at the whiteboard just doing graphs, using charts. He was using colors on the whiteboard I had no idea that even existed.
It's 3-dimensional, yet on a whiteboard. I don't understand how this works.
So many axes.
It's all of the axes.
It's a Q-axis. I didn't even know those are real.
All right, JC. So we've got this Pens game coming up. If I were to ask you what was the one key for this Pittsburgh Penguins game, what would you say is the one key? You have the opportunity. You're on the soapbox. You have the belt. You have the chop wood axe, and you get 30 seconds with this club. What is your message to this Carolina Hurricanes club?
I think we've gotten in the habit of looking at everything as multiple miniature seasons. Like, we've talked about, you know, this stretch coming up now, we want to get, you know, a certain number of points there. Focus on that game. Focus on that one moment. Focus on each period. Play the best we can for each 20-minute period, which we may have done in the first period tonight and may not have worked correctly. But we want to focus on each period. Go out there. Shut down Sid. That's going to be huge. Cullen's out. That's helpful. Letang's out. I mean, focus on what we've been doing.
Mario Lemieux no longer plays for them.
That's true. But focus on
Kevin what we've Stevens been... currently off drugs. Maybe.
But keep working on, and focusing each 20 minutes on what we've been doing right and how we've been winning our game. Like Brock said, that's what's worked for him. He's kept playing his game, and now he's being rewarded. And if the entire team can stay focused on that, that's the game that actually scares me the least. The two Columbus games, I think we lose, and I think we win against Pittsburgh.
Okay. I will I'll take that, and if we do beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, I will give you zero credit, and may God have mercy on your soul. What I do want to do now is I want to hand it off to our very special guest, who is going to do this much better than we ever could. And folks, we're happy to welcome back into the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters. We think he's, as a Globetrotter, he's coming to us live and direct from Montreal, none other than Josh Yowie, one of our favorite Pittsburgh Penguins beat writers over at DK on Sports. Josh, how are you, sir?
Guys, I'm in Montreal, which means I'm in a good mood. And in a couple of days, I'm going to be in Raleigh, and that's a good thing as well. Two of my favorite road cities. So I'm doing just fine, and it's good to be talking with you guys as always.
We're glad to have you back on. So let's go ahead and get the elephant out of the room. That was a trip, right?
Well, of course it was. I mean, you know, there's no question. I suppose you guys were watching the game. I believe that was a national broadcast last night. So
it was when we got to see the dulcet tones of the future voice of hockey in America, John Forslund, make the call on that.
Yes, it absolutely was a trip, of course. Now, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a fabulously entertaining game in many ways. There certainly were a couple of calls that were let go. I know the Capitals were not particularly thrilled with the officiating. So it goes. I think you guys agree that the NHL's strong suit is not its officiating. It never has been. The Penguins have been flipping out for a couple of weeks now. Mike Sullivan got tossed from a game in Ottawa last week, so maybe they were due for a break. But to answer your question, yes, it was a trip.
Yeah, it certainly looked like it with all the gifts afterwards, but I wanted to move on to Sid the Kid for a second, you know, just to talk about, you know, he's born August 7th, 1987, makes $8.7 million a year. He's 87th on the all-time scoring list league-wide now. How high is he in the Illuminati right now?
Oh, it's a good question. And yeah, he's also, by the way, freakishly superstitious. So he might want to stay at number 87 on the all-time list for a while because he likes those numbers so much.
And like, that game ended 8-7. We're just saying.
That's right. And I know for a fact the Penguins were willing to give him, you know, $10 million a year or whatever the maximum could be. And he told them a few years ago, no, I want 8.7 a year. So, yeah, he's big on those numbers. Listen, he's pretty close to the height of his power right now. He's got 27 goals, most in the league. I think points per game, he's 1.3 something. He's just behind McDavid in the scoring race, but McDavid's played, I think, 9 more games right now. So he's the best player in the world. To me, no one's particularly close right now. I know McDavid's great, and Evgeny Malkin is playing out of his mind right now as well. But Crosby's doing some pretty special things on a nightly basis. And, you know, he's playing on a line with Connor Sheary and Brian Rust. And those guys don't stink, but they're not household names either. He's not doing it with star wingers. He's just better than everyone else right now. And just the consistency with which he's playing, he's really something to watch. And I know you guys will be pulling for the Canes on Friday night, but I know if you're a hockey fan, you appreciate watching him and what he's doing right now. He's pretty close to the height of his power, I would say. At age 29, he's probably at the end of the peak years, but man, he's still something to watch.
Well, you're saying 29 is the end of the peak years, and there's another man on that Pittsburgh Penguins roster who is currently in the 40 club, and that would be one Mr. Matt Cullen. I believe it was announced just a little while ago that Cully's going to be out for a couple of weeks with a bum foot after blocking a shot last week. And Josh, could you tell us a Matt Cullen story so we don't cry, because we love Matt Cullen.
I actually have a great Matt Cullen story, and it just happened today. He's one of my favorite people in the world, by the way. He's still a really good hockey player, just an unbelievable human being. He's one of the best people I've ever dealt with in my career. So, you know, hockey teams and hockey players like to be real secretive of injuries. So we noticed today at practice, Matt Cullen walks out with a walking boot on his foot. So the reporters were all sitting there, and that kind of gets our attention, right? Matt Cullen's just kind of playing it cool, and he had one of his kids with him. His kids are homeschooled, and they actually are at the rink every day at the practice facility. And one of his kids kind of runs up to the reporters, and he says, "Hey, guys, my dad just broke his foot." Cullen looked at us, and he just shook his head. And I went up to the media relations person for the Penguins, Jen Bellano. I said, "Jen, listen, you might not want to lie about this injury when Sullivan talks later today, because this kid just told us he has a broken foot." And she said, "Yes, I already heard about it, so we're just going to say he has a broken foot." I'm like, "Oh, that's great." So, yeah, so the Cullen children are very honest and upstanding young men, and they don't like to lie to the media like the rest of hockey people do. So we got the scoop from the kids. But, no, he is – yeah, that's going to be a loss for the Penguins. He is still a really good player. He scored, I think, 16 goals last year in a fourth-line role. He scored a bunch of huge playoff goals. He's having another good season. At 40 years old, he can still skate and is an invaluable member of that locker room. Everybody looks up to him. Quality player, quality human being.
All right. Well, yeah, we heard you just mention people liking to lie to the media and use the media in hockey, and we know of someone up there who's done that here before. kind of Jim Rutherford. so we were wondering what you're expecting for the trade deadline coming up shortly, and what you've been told to say about the trade deadline.
First of all, I will never say a bad word about Jim, because I love Jim. He's fun in hockey, boy. Man, he's so free with information, like just upfront and honest, and we love dealing with him. I don't think Jim's going to do anything major, and that's not like him. You guys know Jim's kind of a gunslinger. He loves making deals. He certainly made a lot of big deals last year, bringing in Carl Hagelin and Justin Schultz before the deadline. The Penguins could probably use a defenseman, especially as you'll see Friday night with Chris Letang out of the lineup. It is not a great blue line for the Penguins. It's, you know, got some talent, but it's frankly pretty average. And they could use some depth. They really don't have any depth in their minor league system at all right now on the blue line. So I think you'll see Jim go and get number 6 or 7 defenseman, certainly. There have been some wild rumors around the Penguins right now. Gabriel Landeskog is the name that keeps popping up. And, boy, he would look awfully good in a Penguins uniform. But I just don't see that happening. Jim really likes this team. Why wouldn't he? He won him a Stanley Cup last year, and it's essentially the same team back this season. So I think you'll see a defenseman for sure, although not a big name. Maybe one forward, but the Penguins have done nothing but trade away draft picks and prospects for many years. And if Jim can keep them as a Stanley Cup contender, which they certainly are right now, and not, you know, hurt the system anymore and even replenish it a little bit this spring and summer, I really think that's what he would prefer to do.
Well, you know, you bring up a point about the Pens and the Pens' future, and we've seen the effects, the long-term effects of a Rutherford Stanley Cup run or two here in Raleigh. What's the vision from the kind of Pens Nation in terms of, is it worth it to mortgage the future to potentially get one of those guys to help, whether it is a Gabriel Landeskog, and you shut your filthy mouth, Josh Yoey, Gabriel Landeskog is a future Carolina Hurricane. Because we have the process and the prospects to get them, whereas you guys do not. That said, is there some worry in Pens Nation about the future of this franchise and what it looks like in 3 or 4 years when Malkin's on the downturn of his career, and there's really been a couple of drafts that haven't produced much, if anything at all, due to lack of picks?
Well, I suppose there are some enlightened fans that always worry about the future, and you know how hockey fans are. They love knowing about the prospects, and they always think the next, you know, first-round pick is going to be a superstar. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But to answer your question, no, not really. Penguins fans, and even Penguins management, quite honestly, they're looking at this team right now, and they see Crosby at 29, Malkin at 30, and they figure there's a 4 or 5 year window where they can compete for a championship every year, and that's what they're really worried about. They're not worried about the future all that much. They're very much in win-now mode, and that's what happens when you win a cup. And it can be a dangerous game to play, no question. But the fact is, you know, they actually feel better about their system now than they did a couple of years ago. They sell out their building every night. There's always going to be money to spend to the cap with their current ownership. So they're not worried about the future. They just want to win more championships. And you know, they've actually had a nice little surge of young players, guys like Sheary and Rust, and a kid named Jake Gensel, a prospect they really like, and a kid named Daniel Sprong, their second-round pick last year, who they think could really be a star in a couple of years. So they're going to go for it. That's just always kind of the mindset in Pittsburgh, and that certainly hasn't changed.
I was just going to say, rumor has it Daniel Sprong for Lee Stepniak is really starting to heat up in the conversation rumor mill, and that's not one we would look down upon.
That will not happen. Jim Rutherford. Well, actually, Lee Stepniak, by the way, I'm glad you brought him up, because the guy, like, scores everywhere he goes, but, like, teams never just keep him, and I don't understand why.
He's the most valuable trade chip every March.
He really is. It's incredible. He's a nice guy, nice player. I don't get it. Somebody should give that man a three-year deal, but no, I assure you, Jimmy loves Daniel Sprong, so he will not be traded him anytime soon.
So let's look ahead to the game Friday night here in Raleigh. What do the Canes need to be most worried about with the team that's coming in that just rolled the Caps with 8 goals the other night?
Well, I mean, the Penguins aren't playing well defensively at all right now. They've given up 24 goals in their last 4 games. So they're vulnerable right now defensively, especially without Letang. But listen, I don't mean to simplify things, but it starts with the big boys. I actually thought the Canes did a pretty nice job in the last meeting against Crosby and Malkin. They were fairly quiet. But these guys are so good right now. You know, when they're on the ice, they scare the hell out of you. I mean, they're just totally locked in, both of them. They're both playing at MVP level, and usually that's not the case. Usually one guy is and the other isn't, or one guy is and the other guy's hurt, but right now they're both healthy, and they are both playing some kind of hockey. So the Penguins are all about the star power right now. They're not getting a ton of production from their third and fourth lines. Like I said, with Letang out, their blue line is not great. Murray and Fleury are both playing okay, but I wouldn't say either's at the top of his game right now, so you slow down Sid and Gino and you have a chance to beat them, but the way they're going right now, it won't be easy.
Well, you look at the role Bill Peters has got this club down here in Raleigh on, and they're really doing a good job of controlling the puck. We've actually scored 24 goals in our last 4 games, which has been a bit of an offensive just onslaught from this team, but the defense has suffered a little bit because of it. If the Pens have something to worry about it, in your analysis, what do you think Mike Sullivan is telling his crew to be on the watch out for Friday night?
Here's what I saw. When these teams last played, Carolina's speed really jumped out at me. This is a team that can really skate. The Penguins usually are so much faster than other teams. You saw that in the playoffs last year. They just outskated everyone. And Carolina's one of the few teams I've seen that it didn't really look like a mismatch, that the Canes could keep up with them. So that's something that got the Penguins' attention. I know I was talking with Sidney Crosby about the Canes after that game a few weeks ago, and he was really impressed with them. He said, that team's going to be really good. So they got some really nice-looking players. So he doesn't say that after games much. They kind of got his attention. I think he was impressed with what he saw. And you guys know how it is. This division is just so ridiculously good right now. I mean, if they were in an average division, we wouldn't be talking possible playoff run for Carolina. As it is with, you know, the division they're in, it's awfully tough. But, no, they opened the Penguins' eyes with the way they can skate. And I feel like they match up okay with the Penguins, even though the Penguins are still a better team.
It's definitely going to be a tough tilt here in Raleigh on Friday night. If you don't have your tickets, go over to CarolinaHurricanes.com or SeatGeek. Pick up your tickets. Josh, I know, will be there joining us from Press Row. If you're not following Josh, you can find him over on the Twitters. He is at Josh Yohe. That is Yohe. PGH, I believe the PGH might stand for Pittsburgh, but that's at Josh Yohe PGH if you want to read his stuff. He is over at the great site DK on Sports. They cover everything Pittsburgh, and there might be some other Pittsburgh-focused sporting event going on this weekend of some sort. I'm not sure if it's a Duquesne basketball game or what, but I'm sure the guys over at DK on Sports will have it covered for you stem to stern. Josh Yohe coming to you live and direct from Montreal. Josh, we look forward to breaking bread with you, hopefully, and giving you that barbecue sandwich and beer we owe you on Friday night, buddy.
Yeah, guys, it's always a pleasure. I might come down and have a beverage after the first period. Just don't tell my boss.
I don't even know who your boss is. We'll talk to you soon, Josh. Take care, buddy.
You got it, guys.
So good to have Yohe back on the podcast. Hope he makes it here Friday night. Hope nothing bad happens to him while he's in Montreal, because bad things have been known to happen in Montreal.
Well, at least Chris Terry isn't there anymore.
Oof. Oh. You know what? I hope our boy Josh doesn't get an Italian sub, because he may not make it out of Canada alive.
You don't want to put hummus on that.
No.
You really don't.
God, no.
It doesn't end well.
No, no, no. If you've seen the video on the Section 328 Facebook feed, facebook.com/Section 328, by the way, if you're not subscribed.
Ignore the underscore.
Ignore the underscore there because, you know, Facebook's weird and Mark Zuckerberg stole the idea, but that's a movie altogether. So I know we've got a couple of things that we have to do. Because it's part of every podcast and we stick to the format because, well, it's what we do. We've got to talk about cheat mail. Right. We've got to have beer review, even though our long departed former co-host, maybe future co-host, I don't know, Derek is no longer with us, at least tonight. But since Derek's not here and we've got a little bit of time to fill, and there hasn't been a lot going on since the last podcast, since we did the last podcast just 4 days ago, there's been a segment that we've often talked about here in the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters. And I think some of you who follow Canes on Reddit may be aware of this. Tom, are you aware of this subculture of fan fiction around Canes hockey?
I've attempted to avert my eyes, but much like a train wreck crashing into a plane crash, it is almost impossible not to look away.
So I'm not a big Reddit person. I leave Reddit to Derek, and I try to, you know, I'm over on Twitter.
I think
that's
why he's dead now.
It could be.
Reddit kills.
Reddit does kill.
Dead it.
But I think tonight we would like to unveil our first ever episode of JC Reads Canes Fanfic.
An illegal kiss. As he careened into the boards, Brock McGinn thought back to last night. He sat in his apartment. He'd been stuck in most of the day because of the ice and snow that had fallen in the 24 hours prior. Wearing nothing but sweatpants, Brock enjoyed the cool atmosphere that the weather was providing for his apartment. He could feel the chill all over his skin. It felt like another day at work. Suddenly, his phone buzzed. It was late, about 2:30 a.m. Why would anyone be messaging me this late, he thought. Brock grabbed the phone and brought the light to the screen. He didn't recognize the number. He'd unlocked his phone to read a message from a number he'd never seen. Hi, it's Patrice B. Bored at the hotel and in the snow. Come visit. Brock realized he'd been messaged by Patrice Bergeron. He thought this was pretty neat and it would be good to go say hello to some of the other players and finally get out of the house today. He threw on a sweatshirt and some shoes on. Brock grabbed a hat and left his apartment. As he pulled up to the hotel in North Hills, Brock took a second to think. He'd watched Bergeron play for a few years and always looked up to his hustle and the way he played the game. He'd also admired more than that. Sometimes, Brock would think about Bergeron's body. It was perfect to him, and he'd always craved the feeling the scruff of Patrice's 5 o'clock shadow rub against his skin. Brock snapped out of it. He got out of the car and went in to meet Bergeron. He looked around the lobby. It was completely empty. No one was to be found. Brock McGinn? The voice came from behind the desk. It was the attendant. Yes, that's me, Brock replied. Mr. Bergeron asked that you come to his room. He has a key here for you. He's in 416. Thanks. Brock thought it was odd to be hanging out in his room this late, but the thoughts of his fantasies refilled his mind. He had dreamt of being pushed against the wall and taken from behind.
And that is this week's episode of Canes Fanfic.
I got some more.
We're gonna see how the people feel about this episode of Canes Fanfic, and if there is demand, next week we will hear the ending of the final tale that is Brock.
But what if there's demand right now?
And Patrice. Oliver, you would do well to put your pants on and go redraw that. Jesus, is that a Q-axis? Oh my God.
I needed the Q-axis. There's your PDO happy to see me.
Oh my God, it's completely fallen apart without Wrestler here in the 328 Worldwide Headquarters. Tom, let's bring up cheat mail and see if we can get this thing back on track.
Yes, let's do that now.
Cheat mail, gotta go get some cheat mail. Let's go to our buddy Kane's ombudsman, your ombuds pal. Temple of Doom is definitely the weakest of the trilogy, right?
I'm not okay. I'm hot take time.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not an Indiana Jones fan.
Ooh.
So, you know, they're all kind of equally boring. I mean, the first one had the guy that, like, got chopped up by the rotor blade, so that was kind of cool. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. One of them had, like, James Bond in it, I think. I don't know. That's my hot take. I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan.
It's a pretty simple answer. It's the weakest of the trilogy, but as we all know, the weakest of all the other ones is the Crystal Skull.
Is the question is the Crystal Skull weaker or stronger than Brock's love of Patrice?
I don't think anything can beat that.
Well, we'll know that maybe next week.
If just depending upon folks' feedback, let's go over to our buddy Ethan Clark, who has maybe a more relevant question. Which team would be your dream matchup in the first round should the Carolina Hurricanes make the playoffs, and why? Let's start with JC.
Oh God, I haven't even.
Welcome to being on the podcast, yeah, sir. What is your first round dream matchup?
First round, ooh. I'd just like to take Pittsburgh out first.
Okay, so
that'd be fun. Start off strong. Just start off making a statement. Start off big.
Taking out the reigning Stanley Cup champions.
Yep.
Okay, easy enough. I could take it, Tom.
I was going to lean towards Pittsburgh, but I think it ends up being Washington because for whatever reason, we seem to play them well, and I think that if we're getting into the playoffs now, it's probably a 1-8. And that's probably where our matchup would end up being in the first place. And I think we actually match up pretty well with them.
I do agree that probably Washington is our most likely destination if we do make it. What I would like to match up against the most would be the Rangers, because as we all know that Lundqvist is declining, their D is not good. So our young guys could tear them up, as in the pace we've been doing lately. So, yeah, the Rangers are my pick, who I'd like to see in the first round.
McLaughlin group style, the correct answer is the New York Rangers, because F. Hank, because, you know, he's ugly and his face is stupid.
And he's done.
He's done. He's over.
He's actually beautiful. He'd be a beautiful dead person.
He would make a beautiful dead person. Him and Derek lying side by side.
That's fanfic for 2 weeks from now.
Potentially. Oh, gosh.
JC has had ew on that one.
Last one, because God, I have no idea where this is going from here. What do you get? This is from our buddy Miles Conrad. What do you think it's going to take for the PNC Arena to get back to that classic packed house, the ear piercing noise? Is it we make the playoffs? What's it going to take the last? I'm even going to change this question a little bit. What's it going to take for the Triangle Region and the PNC to really become that home ice advantage from a crowd perspective once we get into March and April as opposed to, you know, kind of the Star Wars night crowd who was loud and boisterous but was one of our larger crowds of the season?
I think it's going to take the playoffs. I mean, and it's going to take a decent run into the playoffs. The fan, and unless you have a dramatic slashing of prices and tickets, which isn't going to happen for numerous reasons and reasons I'm okay with, but you're not going to have a full house necessarily until we start to hit the playoffs. And if we're successful in the playoffs, maybe a first round success in the playoffs, we get eliminated maybe in the second round. That's what's going to get the people coming back. I mean, the last time we had a good regular crowd coming into PNC Arena was after the lockout. You kind of take something away, you bring it back, people are excited to see it. They want to see winning hockey now. They haven't seen the playoffs in almost, what, 7-8 years, whatever it is.
It's been a while.
It's been longer than I care to remember, and that's what it's going to take to bring people in. If the playoffs are actually here, not within grasp, because they were within grasp a couple of years ago and we lost it on the last day. So it needs to be physical playoff tickets in hand to be able to be used, and I think that's going to wake people up and realize, wait a second, we actually have a good thing here.
Well, and I think, you know, kind of piggybacking off our last question, who we beat in that first round of the playoffs is going to be big, because if it is a Pittsburgh Penguins team or a New York Rangers team or a Washington Capitals team that we're playing in the first round, all who would be expected to thoroughly trounce this Carolina Hurricanes by the odds makers in Vegas, who are definitely not selecting Justin Faulk in the expansion draft, JC.
So you think
I think that having that level, because, you know, those guys are going to come out, they're going to pack, you know, they're going to want to buy their tickets as well. So it would definitely make for a raucous crowd inside the PNC Arena, and I think it would be an absolute blast. You know, I'm just going to kind of leave it there before we get to that. I do want to talk to you, JC. I've got one more cheat mail question. This is from at mflanagan00. Oh,
okay.
Why do you think Derek Ryan is so, I believe it is hashtag McDreamy?
You've seen him, right?
It's not a thing.
It's going to be a thing.
Let's just...
There's going to be merch. It's going to be on the back of an All-Star jersey one day, too. He's going to be the first one with it. It's going to say hashtag McDreamy and the 33 in the XHL. when Vince starts that league.
Why has that not happened yet?
But, yeah. And he's playing so good. He's a nice young guy with a
he's
family.
20, he's 29 years old.
But he's just... Just
no, a nice young guy is Jacob Slavin or Noah Hanifin.
He fits in too.
All right, so let's go to our resident analytics expert, Derek Ryan. Should we invest in McDreamy merch now?
Well, he does have, in the Bill Peters era, the highest points per 60 minutes of any player that has played more than 200 minutes. So, yes, your answer is yes. Invest in the McDreamy.
Which line is that on the graph? Is that the fuchsia line?
Yeah, it's
on the Q-axis.
Oh, that Q-axis is completely out of range. Save us, Tom. Review a beer. Tell these beautiful folks about what you and JC are drinking this evening.
Okay, so what I've stolen from JC, because I didn't bring necessarily good beer today, is from Stone Brewing Company, and it's their Ripper.
Ripper
IPA. Is it an IPA or is it just a pale? Is it just a pale ale?
They call it their San Diego Pale Ale.
Okay. Well, I'm not from San Diego, and things move away from San Diego, so this just means that the beer will be in Los Angeles next year, I guess. Yeah. Relocation jokes, if we can speak.
Actually, Tom. Breaking news. I need a in-game update. Currently, still 4-1 Columbus. Go ahead.
Okay. Because it's live to us, damn it. Well, the Stone Ripper, it says a lot of words on here, and it is not that bright anymore in here. But the Stone Ripper is a San Diego Pale Ale, and it has Citra hops.
It says it's ripping sweet with juicy hops.
Okay.
It sounds like someone wrote beer fanfic on the back of that label.
Yeah, it's not sweet. I mean, you will be hard-pressed to find a sweet IPA. The pineapple... IPAs that I've tasted before, those are about the closest you get to sweet. This leans more towards it's bitter, just like an IPA is. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, but it's the Citra hops that mask most of the sweetness that might be coming from this. I think it was passion fruit, and
it's definitely got some kind of grapefruit notes to it, a little bit of passion fruit, definitely a lot of the juicier family of citrus fruits like that. You get a lot of those notes from those citrus hops. It's got the Australian Galaxy hops as well. It's really smooth. It doesn't have quite the bite. It's got the nice juiciness. This would be a great summer beer.
5.7%, so you can drink a fair amount of them and not get quite hammered.
Yeah. Right. That's why I got it tonight.
Yeah, it's not like an 8.1 IPA where you can sit there, you have two, and then you fall down a couple of times.
Tom, it actually kind of reminded me of, like, if you know the Gatorade Citrus Cooler?
Yes.
If there was, like, a session IPA of that.
I am a huge fan of Gatorade Citrus Cooler. That is my softball beverage of choice during the game, not after the game, because no one... drinks Gatorade after the game. I mean, it's softball. Come on. But yes, this would be after the game. It's not funny. Softball's dead serious.
Dead serious. Tom,
like Derek.
Dead serious. Would you guys buy this beer again? What's
yes.
The sixer of this run?
It was 10, 11.
Okay.
Right there. It wasn't bad. Yeah, I would buy it. I'm not going to search it out. If I see it again and I don't know what to get out, I would consider it, but that's not going to be my first choice.
I would steal it from JC again, but I don't know if I'd necessarily purchase it. There are other beers on this level that I would prefer over this one. So it's kind of a mid-level IPA to me.
I think it's a good tailgate option, to be honest. For like, it's a little, perhaps a little high for a tailgate and a long day session, but it was sweet and delicious.
Ah, sweet and delicious. While I'm over here mourning the loss of my co-host, we would like to once again say our best condolences to those who feel like they have lost out on something by Derek Ressler not being my co-host on this podcast tonight. It's been tough for us, but guys, I think we pulled it together. I think as a Section 328 family, we made it through.
We did all right.
And I appreciate you guys coming in here to the worldwide headquarters to not only help us watch Ned basically pitch a shutout tonight. Had Ned started, I believe we probably would have won this game 1-0,
yeah.
Because that's how you extrapolate out stats. Alex Nedeljkovic has never given up a goal in the National Hockey League, and Henrik Lundqvist has an .843 save percentage since January 1st. Thereby, Alex Nedeljkovic is going to win the Vezina soon, and Hank Lundqvist should go ahead and just pack his bags for whatever Scandinavian country that he and his beautiful family are going to retire in. Am I correct? All right, good. There we go. So those are things that we've learned on this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win. We promise to try to do better next week, but we appreciate your guys' support. You know where to find us. We're over on the Twitters at @section_328.
At Mr. Workrate.
At @Kane_Alytics.
At JC Bobbitt.
No one really cares to follow me because I tweet stuff about my real job in the real world. So you can find us there. We're on Snapchat. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. This podcast is everywhere that you can find podcasts, particularly iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, those type of guys. If you haven't left us a review yet, why? Because please, you know, those things help our egos. And when we have the passing of a co-host, sometimes it's all we have is our egos to prop us up.
Go on, Meltzer. Give us 6 stars.
Yeah. And thanks to those of you who actually got that reference. And if you really, really, really like this podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/section328 and give us some of your spare pocket change. And we will send you gifts and goodies and love and adoration. And if you send us enough gifts and goodies, we may even let you sponsor this podcast because our adoring listeners love to take part of products that enjoy this podcast. So thank you guys for everything that you do. Thanks for joining us here on Cheaters Never Win. But until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Tom.
I'm Ken Lux.
I'm JC.
And we are out of here. Bye, Derek.